you want to make your money make sense? Listen to Business Sense every Monday to Thursday, 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. and make sense of your money.
Today is Technology Tuesday, and as you know, on Business Sense, every Tuesday we talk about technology and everything that has to do with that particular field, particularly because it is very, very important and it affects each and every one of us. Well, one of the terms that you and I are getting used to every single day is this thing called artificial intelligence, or AI, as the experts in this field help us to understand it, right? So what is AI? Particularly, how does it affect us? Last week, we looked at AI from the point of view of saying, how does it affect you and I? How does it affect our businesses and all that? And so this evening, we're asking, how does artificial intelligence affect non-governmental organizations as well? And this evening, we're talking to Ms. Nkadi Meng, and she is the Managing Director of Indalo Robotics. I must say that it's really great to see women leading in this particular field. And that's the conversation that I want to have with her as well, to say, what's the role of women in this new, I suppose, concept thing, industry, whatever it is that we are now grappling with, which is called artificial intelligence. She is responsible for ensuring that the organization stays up to date with the latest developments in robotics, AI, and coding, and that it continues to, amongst other things, innovate and evolve its programs and initiatives to meet the changing needs of the community. That is Jackie there in terms of the organization. So we've got her on the line, I believe, and we are going to talk to her about artificial intelligence as regards and its impact with regards to non-governmental organizations. Good evening, ma'am.
Good evening. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you for asking. And yourself?
That's great.
Fantastic. I've been looking forward to having this conversation with you. And particularly because as a novice, as someone who doesn't even know this particular space, and it's really great to chat to people like you who are great and leading in this space particularly. And so we trying to look at artificial intelligence and what is this elephant? What is this thing called artificial intelligence? But more importantly, how does it affect non-governmental organizations like yourself? But before we go anywhere, who is Ms. Nkadi Meng?
Ms. Nkadi Meng is, I like to say that I'm multidimensional.
Ah, okay.
You know? I do not like conforming to just one specific thing. So
okay.
I am the managing director of a non-profit organization called Indalo Robotics.
Yeah.
I'm also an astrologer. Astrologer. Yeah. There's so many elements to myself. But however, you get to know me.
Yes.
in the interview.
Oh, fantastic. I love that multidimensional thing. I think a lot of young people, maybe that might be your advice as well before we actually talk about this AI thing, to say, is it important to be multidimensional, to not just be focused on one career? Can you do this career and that career? Do you think there's value in doing that?
I think it's very important to be multidimensional because it means that you are very adaptable.
Yeah.
You know, you can adapt to any situation, and it's very important in the times that we are in to be very adaptable. And we are now talking about multiple streams of income, which means that you have to be in multiple places at the same time and be multiple people and all of that. So it's just a matter of being adaptable. In a nutshell.
And multidimensional, like you said, they really love that. So how did you land yourself in technology, artificial intelligence? How did you get into this field?
So it actually started in high school. So in high school, I was very interested in mathematics and science.
Yeah.
So it was, mathematics intrigued me, you know, in such a way that I don't even know how to explain it, but I used to be a 90s girl, you know, 98, you know. And even with physical science, we used to call it physical science, but I was more good with the physics side.
Really?
You know, with the connecting the motors, calculating acceleration, you know, that used to excite me. So I remember there was a competition that was initiated at my school. I went to Kenilworth High School. And with the competition that used to be at school, I was never interested. Like debate, running, I used to think that was just too much effort for me.
Okay.
But when the opportunity to go and build a robot and do something outside of the box came, I was like, I won myself.
Oh,
it.
Wow.
You know? And I used the fact that I was good at mathematics to my advantage. I was like, I'm going there because I'm good at math. I mean, like, my physics is not so good because of the chemistry part, but you know that I can do it, you know? So I put myself out there, and I remember we went to a science exhibition in Saibono. In Newtown.
I remember
and
that.
And when we got there, and it was so exciting to see the machinery there. You know, it was just like outside of the box. And I remember we had to go face to face with Indian kids and Chinese kids. And I'm like, okay, this is new, because the only race that I was exposed to was white and colored, but it was another field being with kids who are from private schools, because at my school we didn't even have the resources to practice creating a car, and now we are exposed to this new information, you know, and we have to do our best and do our school proud, because everybody at home is like, oh, you know, waiting for us to come back with it. So we did the competition, and we actually came back second place. We came out second place.
That's nice.
And to us, it was an achievement because we're going against people who already had knowledge with working with these things physically and tangible, you know, and that was very exciting, you know. So I would say that I didn't land into it. I think artificial intelligence has always been a part of us, you know. I believe artificial intelligence is artificial. Anything that is made is artificial.
Yeah.
So if the fridge is artificial, you know, it's doing artificial things that we... that a man-made created it to do it. It has its own intelligence, you know. So I've always looked at life like that. If it's man-made, then it's artificial.
Ah, fantastic. If it's man-made, then it is artificial. I love that. If it's man-made, then it is artificial. But I wanted to ask you a rhetorical question. You can answer or not answer. When are we going to get the value of X? When is solver for X?
Yo, and I love solving for eggs.
Oh, wow.
I love solving. I'm solving eggs.
Until when, though?
Eggs. You solve no why.
Oh, even why? Look at you. I mean, you are certainly better than some of us. Because my mind always, I'm like, yo, even 2023, we're still solving for this X. Can't do X who seems solving. Solving in this X. But fantastic to hear that. And I actually remember Saipon. I don't know if it's still around.
Yes, it's still around, you know,
great.
And I think it's a great space for
It certainly is. It certainly is. Okay. What is artificial intelligence? Is it what you just said? It's everything man-made.
Yeah.
Okay, fantastic. And I was asking that because some of us might not even understand it or what it is and all those sort of stuff. So it's really great to hear that. So I think I'll run with that definition. I think it's simple enough for my little brain to try and comprehend what artificial intelligence is. Because when we hear about it, it's this scary world that everyone is trying to figure out, and all the geniuses like yourself have already figured it out. And the rest of us are like, this is not for me. Yeah, it's for those people with maths and, you know, science and all those sort of stuff. But I think I love that definition, that is everything that is man-made, it is artificial. And like you said, it's always been with us. And so I think that way of looking at it actually makes it a little bit less scarier than most of us. If you've just joined us, welcome to Business Sense. It is Tuesday. And so we're talking artificial intelligence. And we continue on that series because last week we were looking at how artificial intelligence affects businesses and you and I every single day. And one case that was made by Michael Gasser, which I really liked, was the fact that artificial intelligence has always been around. And so Ms. Nkadimeng is also confirming the same thing, that it's always been around, it's always been there. And so, you know, we just need to get used to it. There's a comment there that says, UX magazi solve in herself. So, yeah, at least I'm not the only one that's struggling with this X thing. And I want to agree there. I X magazi solve in herself. I see it in our mind. But anyways, now you are the managing director of... an NPO, right? NGO, that focuses on robotics. Can you tell us a little bit what your organization actually does, and what is your role then as the managing director?
Okay, so we have Indalo Robotics, right?
Yeah.
So Indalo Robotics focuses on multiple things when it comes to technology, artificial intelligence, coding, and the whole spec, you know. So we are trying to also give the black child a platform, because what we've realized is that not only does the black child not have knowledge about what artificial intelligence is, but the resources to even try to get it, you know, like if you were to have to try to research even that data, you know, we're having an issue, data, you know, and if we can now use our organization to give back to the to our community, it's okay. So what is the issue, you know, and try to now solve it with now also thinking in a futuristic way, and not saying, okay, you need food, let's give you food. You know, that's not, you're not, you know, letting someone grow. But if you give them knowledge and you give them the understanding of what is about to happen, you know, and also be a sort of like a middle person or the middle ground between the person that needs the resource and the person that has the resource, and say, okay, now this is a platform, young child, what can you explore? What can you invent with your mind? You know, how can we explore, you know, the field? Because if you're not, it's either you are against it or, you know, and whether you be a part of it, and just because you don't, you know anything about it. So with our organization, we teach young kids. We have so many plans that we are planning to do. You know, we have so many plans and ideas. However, we are trying to reach out to also the young mind, you know, with teaching them about Legos. You know, it sounds like cliche, but if a young black child grows up without my Legos, and even building bricks, you know, as a child, used to kind of expand our minds, you know, and would make something out of bricks, you know, make something out of bricks, play something with bricks, you know. And now when you're given more bricks, such as eToy, Ifananilego, you know, it expands a child's mind. You also appeal to the younger generation, the teenagers, because they're also going through depression and all of these things, because I personally know how it feels to be in a situation where you don't know what to do, because you know, you can see what is coming. You can see, because it's not that they don't know. It's some of them do understand. However, it's just a matter of channeling their mind and making them understand, you know. And when it comes to the older people also, we are basically channeling our energy in different places, you know, in with every age group. It's not just for the kids. However, it's also for someone who is 70 years old and cannot walk and would prefer to use something artificial to help them go around and all of that. So it's a building block. We have to start somewhere, of course, but I believe that we can... We just need a space. Black people just need a space to be innovative and be great, you know, because we don't have the resources. So we're saying, as an NPO, we are here. If you, if we are looking for volunteers, you know, if you are saying that you are good at coding or you have a potential or you see the potential, because all we need sometimes is just that spark, you know, and with that spark, you can expand it and all of that. But with the, if you see that you have a spark or you have something that you can add or some kind of value, then our platform is a great platform for you to use. And, you know, we can all expand as, you know, united. Because it's sad to see how black people, we are always behind. We're always behind. Always behind. So let's move forward.
Now, how difficult is it then? And I think, you know, perhaps young people grapple with the idea of artificial intelligence, and maybe after one or two hearing you talk, they do get a sense of what it is. How is it difficult for older people? You spoke about also making this, I suppose, understood by older people as well.
When it comes to older people, what I've realized is that the mind is stubborn, you know. We young people like to call it the matrix. You know, you're stuck in the matrix. You're stuck in doing the same routine, doing the same thing, that you don't open your mind to
a
robot possibly being that person to now, or being that object to be in place of the job. And I think that's why I'm saying young people are depressed, because we see it coming. It's not that all young people are sleeping. Some young people can see it coming, but we don't have the resources or the knowledge, or even where to get the knowledge. How can we work with it? You know, so it's easier to get to a younger mind, because then it's more still fresh and young. You know, that's why we're also saying we can even broaden our segmentation to even the younger kids, you know, 2 to 6 years old. You know, they're still young, and then they can still expand. But when it comes to older people, it's hard to even tell them that that thing you see in the movies is coming. It's here, you know. It's not just in the movies. And, you know, to them, you're just saying something that does not make sense. You know?
Yeah, it doesn't. Now, how are then organizations using artificial intelligence? Are they adopting it at a speed that it's supposed to be adopted at, given, I suppose, the comparison with the rest of the world, or are organizations a little bit slow? How are they, suppose, using or even dealing with the issue of artificial intelligence?
I believe that actually South Africa is further than I anticipated, you know, when we started researching, because we actually found out that there's a robot called Lisa. So Lisa is a robot that was used to be an advocate and a lawyer and to, you know, pass out laws and all of that. Although it was expensive and they had to cancel, you know. However, it was in South Africa, and Elon Musk bought it and created chatbots and all of that. So even for the fact that Elon Musk is from South Africa, so he's a lot about South Africa, you know, and I feel like we turn a blind eye to how great South Africa is, and it's a great platform for us to also, you know, start the robotics, because it's not like there's people who do not want to fund, or they don't see the vision. The vision is there, you know, and we are not far behind. We just need other people to come on, you know. It's just like the days of Noah. You know, there is the flood,
you know,
the water is coming, come on.
Yeah.
And whoever is connected with God and the God self in themselves will hear the calling and be part of the movement. And those who be left behind will be served by the flood, you know.
Yeah.
And we saw that also with COVID. We need to adapt. We need to be more aware.
That makes sense. Now, how are NGOs then affected by AI in particular?
So NGOs are affected by AI mainly because AI is expensive, right? So an NGO means that you are a non-profit. You're not focused on the profits. You need profits in order to pay for such an expense of, you know, dealing with AI and all of that. So cost efficiency is very... it's one of them, and lack of technical expertise, there's not a lot of people in this field, you know, even kids that would want to be in this field, it's rare, rare, you know. And even when it comes to data privacy and security concerns, you know, when it comes to an NGO, it's just, there's a lot of things that affect I'm a NGOs, because they are not like a company, and it's easier to control a company than an NGO.
That makes a lot of sense. I suppose it raises the question then to say, how do we then work around the challenges of costs and lack of expertise in NGOs around AI? Is it the fact that government must be involved, or the private sector must be involved, because obviously they've got the funds that maybe NGOs do not have?
When it comes to the government, I wouldn't say let's hope too much, you know, because we've been disappointed by the government, just to put it out there, and to depend or to look for other ways in which you can, or rather, let me say, it's better to find a donor or somebody that believes in your vision.
Yeah.
Then you can invest in these type of AI advanced apps or all of that, you know. However, there is an app called Chatbot that you can connect to your Facebook, yeah. WhatsApp. So this AI software allows you to automatically send messages. Like, it helps with customer service. It helps with, you know, engaging with multiple people at the same time. So it normally answers frequently asked questions. Yeah, so it works around that. So they can try to look into that. There's also other ways to integrate softwares in which you can sell products and all of that, because selling products and services is also important for an NPO to generate funds and all of that, you know. So there are other apps that they can use, or other softwares that they can use that have AI. However, funding is very important, because at the end of the day, these softwares were also created by engineers and science basically engineers, right? And they also want money out of it, unfortunately, for everyone. So we have to pay for those. So the chatbot is the only thing that we have right now that is cost efficient. However, there's room to invest when you have the funding.
That makes sense. But is there a case then for the use of artificial intelligence by NGOs? In other words, is there a reason why NGOs should be looking at using artificial intelligence in their operations?
Yes, I mean, it's very efficient in a sense that it helps with, for example, if you were to be working in a more rural area, right? Let's say you have found funding to go give the community the food and water or anything that they might need. Then instead of having a whole team of people that you still need to cater for, there is drones, right? So now we're using drones where we can deliver those service, I mean, those goods, you know, rather than, you know, it's more cost efficient, right? And there's multiple ways you can, we can use AI. Also, it has the potential of job displacement, right? Which means that anything that a human being can do, remember I said artificial, it means that it's human made. So human made intelligence. So you know the saying that two brains are better than one. Now imagine 10 brains creating a whole artificial intelligence. That means that it's smarter than one person. That means that it can replace anyone. So that also, when it comes to NGOs, it's another, you know, it comes with job displacement, where now a lot of people, if maybe you are a humanitarian and you generally want to help people, now that job is not there for you, because we can easily get a drone to deliver those goods and to cater for those people without you being there, you know.
In fact, that was going to be my next question, to say, what are some of those concerns then about artificial intelligence that NGOs have, like you've mentioned? Is it going to also replace jobs in the NGO space? You know, because we hear how it's going to take over the retail space, you know, robots can now go and do groceries for you, blah, blah, blah. And so tellers are not needed and stuff like that. But what are those concerns that NGOs have then about artificial intelligence?
ENGO, right?
Yeah.
At first, it's a non-profit organization for a reason. You know, it's about community, it's about the community. And as much as we can find artificial intelligence, which is the logical mind, which is now me going into dividing or kind of making you understand the logical way, the way men think and the way women think, you know. So when it comes to the heart center, which is now women, which is giving and caring and all of these things, we are still going to need NGO to cater for humans and understand what human needs are, you know. We can't expect a robot to necessarily cater for those. It's like asking a robot to nurture a child, you know. So those kind of jobs are still going to be there. So one thing I would advise the youth is to look into soft and hard skills
Okay.
that are going to be beneficial in the future, right? Because I don't know if maybe I'm being off track, but I just felt like addressing this. So when it comes to soft and hard skills, it helps in the sense that you can now be part of what is trending in the future, unlike when you are with what is behind or what was happening. Because I feel like that's one of the things that tends to depress the youth, because you know what was working is not going to work in the future, you know. So looking around those areas and making sure that you're skilled in those areas. And one of those areas includes learning about artificial intelligence and coding and all of these things.
Yes. Okay.
And going back to your question about artificial intelligence and NGOs, I do believe Uti Ama NGOs will be at a disadvantage because of lack of funding.
Mm.
All of these things, like I said, they are expensive.
Yeah.
They require money, unlike if you were a company.
Okay, that makes sense. Now, talking about that cost then that NGOs, I suppose, would also have to incur when they deploy artificial intelligence or when they incorporate artificial intelligence into their businesses, it's obviously going to come in at a cost, and maybe they might need to be innovative around how they find the cost and all that, especially for those elements, like you're saying, that don't necessarily need a person, because like you made a fair argument to say there are some of those activities within the NGO that will still need a person, right? And a robot cannot replace those things, interpersonal relationships and all those sort of stuff. You will still need people doing that, even though robots maybe can go and deliver, but that human to human touch, especially in dire and distressed communities where they've just had a flooding or whatever the case might be, a robot is not going to relate to them at a human to human part. It can deliver whatever assistance that's needed through drones and whatever, but it can't have that thing. But it sounds, and I think that's what even big business is struggling with, that the costs are extremely high. But it is a necessity, even for NGOs. How do they do it without breaking the bank?
So, okay, so when it comes to getting a artificial intelligence or maybe getting a robot, right, at first it costs a lot.
Mm.
It costs a lot, it breaks the bank. However, when during the timeline or the timeline of the business, then you can start seeing the profits come in because it's more efficient, right?
Yeah.
And I'm sorry, I lost my train of thought. However, when it comes to... Okay, so what they can do is you're going to have to pay some kind of money.
Yes.
Like example, I'll give an example with McDonald's, although it's not an NGO.
Yeah.
However, they did break a bank when they first introduced the machinery, which is now the self-help machinery we find there, right?
Yeah.
So, but when time goes on, then now they don't have to worry about somebody getting sick, you know, somebody working slow and all of that. So at first it costs it breaks the bank, right? However, if you're looking at longevity and sustainability, then it makes more sense, you know, because you don't have to worry about pension funds, you don't have to worry about all of that. So I think that's how businesses are looking at it, and most companies that are, you know, profitable companies or even NGOs that have the funds do use those measurements or understanding that if we were to get a robot now, it helps us in the future because there's so many things as a business you don't have to deal with.
Okay. So it makes sense. So the capital outlay might be a little bit expensive, but in the long run, it almost pays itself back, right? So So mm-hmm. from a sustainability point of view going forward, the capital outlay. And I think that makes sense. Even for finance people like myself, we can rationalize the cost of a huge capital outlay. But if the returns, the return on investment over the years kind of makes sense. If this thing will pay itself off, it does make sense. And I think these are the questions that obviously we sit around in meetings and we're like, okay, if we buy this machine that can talk and doesn't need us and can deliver for us and it costs 5 million rands, will this thing pay us back in some sort of way? So I really love that point because I think it gives a good business case for artificial intelligence, even in the NGO space. Capital outlay might be a bit expensive, but over the long term, the benefits of it are quite great and this thing starts paying itself off. Now, speak to us then about the work of artificial intelligence. I suppose in the humanitarian sector, where do these two almost intersect, AI and the humanitarian sector?
Okay, so the first one I will address is the medical center, right? So, I mean, sector. So we saw with COVID, right, we would get stats on how many people were getting infected, how many people were passing and all of that. That's also artificial intelligence.
Oh.
So it does help with the medical sector in the sense that it can also kind of use its analytics to also predict your health, right? Michael Gasser last week also spoke about the watch, which also detects your health and all of that, you know. And we also have what we also spoke about, which is the delivery of food and water to places where traditional road system wouldn't work, you know. And we also have the disaster response, you know, what is trending. What is happening in other words, we are now informed, you know, the world has now become like a smaller space. We know what other people need or what, you know, it's just everything has just become so small. That's why we also need to expand as people, you know, because the world has become more tinier, you know. However, the AI helps a lot with the humanitarian. You know, it's not so bad that it's going to take your job. You should all be afraid of it and want to bring it down. No, it's just a matter of working with it because we have been working with it so far, you know, with our micro ovens, you know, simple things that are in our houses, our TVs and all of that. Yeah.
Okay, that makes sense. Sure. I think you've shared some really great insights, and I think the way we are now looking at artificial intelligence is starting to become a little bit easier. I think for me, the crux of this discussion was when you said, if it is man-made, then it's artificial. I think that summed up the conversation for me, and I think then it just means, Jorge, how do we take that which is man-made, right? I suppose it's man-made because it was solving for X at some stage. But anyways, how do we take it and then make it improve our lives, right? Make it make sense to us and all the sort of stuff. So it's not something that's beyond anybody's ability to comprehend and make sense of it. And so I suppose that's where, for me, I've been sold on this artificial intelligence thing. Now, how can people get involved then?
Okay, we can get involved by being engaged and also connecting with one another, right? So as in Indalo Robotics, we have a webinar that's coming up on the 7th of April.
Okay.
It's going to happen at 9:30. So they will be having the experts in the field who will be discussing and elaborating further on the things on what is AI, coding, and robotics, right? So we're also introducing ourselves to the community and inviting them to say, this is what is happening. Are we here explaining what is happening now? Become part of the movement. Yes, you know, and you find that, you know, actually as Black people, I believe that Black people are so talented, you know. Black people have so much, and we have seen the other races copy the things that we think, that who we are, and how our culture and everything. We have heard stories of information being stolen and all of these things, and I do believe the true essence of us, that we do have the knowledge and the understanding of how these things work, you know. We just need a platform. So this is how you get involved. Join the webinar, register, you know, be a part of us, be a part of the movement. You know, if you don't know, it's okay to not know. That means that you just need to learn, you know.
True.
You just need to equip yourself.
Fantastic. Well, we've been talking to Ms. Nkadimeng, and she is the managing director of Indalo Robotics. And she's responsible for ensuring that the organization stays up to date with the latest developments in robotics, AI, and coding. I think this conversation just proves exactly that. And one of the things she has to do is to make sure that they continue to innovate and evolve their programs and initiatives to meet the changing needs of the community that they serve. And we were trying to then say, how does AI affect non-governmental organizations? And for me, I think that question has been answered. Any final thoughts, ma'am, from yourself?
Okay, my final thoughts will be that whether we choose to live under a rock, you know, or face reality, artificial intelligence is here. The robots are here. It's all here. You know, all the things that we are seeing in the movies is here. And it is up to us to equip ourselves and be ready for what is coming, you know. It's sad to always see black people at the back of the food chain. Yeah, literally at the bottom of the food chain, you know.
Yeah.
So this is a platform, you know, you can follow us on Indalo Robotics on Instagram.
Yeah.
We're gonna be posting more information on upcoming events.
Yeah.
So we're going to be welcoming kids also. We're
going
to have fun with it. We're going to make it a fun thing so that it can be also intriguing to the mind. You know, we're all about fun culture, learning, and, you know, evolving and, you know, being innovative. So, you know, it's time for the black child to rise, and that will be my final words. It's time for us to rise.
It's time for us to rise. You've summed it up very beautifully. Thank you so much, ma'am. And, wish you all the best together with the work that you are doing, and may God continue to bless and expand your territories there. Godspeed, men. Have a good evening.
Thank you so much for this opportunity.
Thank you so much. That was Ms. Jacqueline Nkadimeng as she talks to us about how artificial intelligence is going to affect non-governmental organizations as well.
Adventist World Radio SID Media. We are not general practitioners. We are specialists in Bible-based content. AWR.
Okay. There are two important things that should always go together. We see that the starting of future and prayer, they should, they are hand in glove, if I may put it that way. They're hand in glove and they should always go together.
This and more on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.